Okay, cool. So we are heading towards, right, we're at the end of April now, so not really a seasonal tie here to joint pain. Joint pain is something you can experience any time of the year. But let's dive right into this topic for this week, which is joints. Specifically this week we are talking about, or specifically we're talking about limb joints. So I'm thinking elbows, I'm thinking knees, potentially ankles and wrists. But let's go ahead and start talking about some of the most common things that people experience in terms of risk of joint problems.
Okay. I think that when I was preparing this talk, I was thinking specifically about preparing your body for the upcoming fishing season. It's not too soon to be thinking about getting your arms stronger and more prepared for fishing. And these tips, I hope, will also help during the rest of the season. Probably the most common problems that happen with joints is that we get into a pattern of using them and then overuse them. For instance, people often talk about carpal tunnel syndrome, which is a problem of the wrist joint where you have used your joint in the same manner. You can think about people perhaps moving groceries across the scanner at the grocery store, just that same movement over and over and over again, and it can cause a strain on the wrist. And with carpal tunnel syndrome, what you're actually getting is some swelling in the tunnel in the bones in the wrist that squishes the nerve in the wrist. This is a common problem also in fishing, just because you're using your wrists to pluck the fish out of the net or shake the fish out of the net, and you can wind up with tension in your wrists and swelling in your wrists. Another common kind of problem in the arms is tendonitis. So tendonitis means irritation of the tendon. Tendons are what attach your muscles to your bones. And when you use the muscles over and over again, you can really strain them. And the common things that I see in the summertime with fishing-related injuries is almost a creaking that happens in the forearm. And that can really be painful. And once again, it comes probably from the act of shaking fish out of the nets. You can have a tendonitis in any place where a tendon attaches a muscle to a bone, but up around the elbow is a common place. Up in the forearm is the second common place. You can have tendonitis of the muscles that help attach your arm to your body as well. And another particular kind of problem that can happen fairly commonly is something called a bursitis. So a bursa is a little pocket. It's a little pocket of fluid that pads a joint where the tendons move over the joint, and it helps the tendons move more smoothly. A common bursa that can be inflamed is up in the shoulder. There's another one around your hip. Probably a good thing to think about is ways to get yourself stronger now so that when you are using your arms and hands in that repetitive motion, you won't have as much problem. A good way to start is by strengthening your fingers. Your fingers are really important when you're grabbing the net and shaking the fish out. And if you do nothing more than just get an old tennis ball or a rubber ball and squeeze that ball in your hand, that will help strengthen your fingers and the muscles of your forearms. Now, anytime you've done that kind of squeezing, you need to also stretch your fingers. So think about the motion that you're doing when you're grabbing things with your hand. Well, instead of grabbing, you need to open up your fingers and stretch them. And a good way to do that is to take your hand with your fingers stretched as far apart as you can and push down on something like the edge of a desk. If you do that and push down and pull on your thumb a little bit, that also opens up the carpal tunnel and may help relieve some of the problems with swelling in that carpal tunnel. It's a good idea to keep that stretch for 20 or 30 seconds, because it takes that long for your muscles to kind of relax. A second kind of exercise that would be great to help strengthen your...
Hey, Kathy, can you hear me? I think you're on mute, potentially. Oh, but I just heard something.
Oh,
oh, there you are.
Oh, sorry about that. I managed to somehow stick an ear on the phone and dial somebody else.
Oh, no problem.
So let's go. Going back to the using a dowel pin or a broomstick,
right?
And tie a milk jug to it with a rope, about 2 or 3 or 4 feet of rope. Fill the milk jug up with water to the level of heaviness that you want. A full milk jug is 8 pounds. Half a milk jug full is 4 pounds. And then roll the milk jug up on that stick. And that continual motion of rolling your hand will help strengthen your forearms. You can roll it with your palm facing down. You can roll it with your palm facing up. It's important to do both directions because those work different muscles.
So interesting. And I think, right, when I think about joints, I think about the bigger joints. You know, you thinking about maybe knuckles or wrists and knees and things like that. But I don't necessarily think about the specific ailments associated with joints, such as carpal tunnel. So I think that is really important to talk about because it's also something that I know a lot of people who type a lot experience. And, you know, any kind of repetitive motion, you kind of run the risk of having carpal tunnel and any doing prevented and taking some preventative measures to, you know, alleviate that, I think is really important for people. In terms of fishing, I know that's something that a lot of people deal, you know, the carpal tunnel and other joint issues, people deal with that a lot because you're doing so much repetitive motions. Are there any, you know, when you're thinking about your arms and legs, and you're on a boat, are there any other things that people should be keeping in mind?
Well, when it comes to being on a boat, I think that's probably one of the biggest exercises for core muscle strength you can have. Of course, you're always rocking back and forth a little bit, and it would be important to do some exercises to try to get your legs stronger before you go on the boat and spend your entire time maintaining your balance. Just even simple plain old walking is helpful. If you wanted to be a little fancier, you could make your own wobble board, which is basically a chunk of plywood stuck on a small rock so that it wobbles back and forth and sort of imitates the motion of the boat. Another reasonable exercise is to just roll a can, like a soda can, underneath your foot. And that both keeps your foot flexible and moving, as well as just working the muscles of your knees and your ankles a little bit.
Right. That's I think I've actually never heard of those exercises. That sounds really practical and easy to do at home. Something, and just for everyone listening, do be careful if you're practicing your balance on something like a board. And make sure that you're not around any kind of sharp corners or anything like that. just in case.
Yeah, that's great advice. I didn't think about putting the safety aspects of the exercises that you're doing. another real simple thing that tends to help in cases of sort of the muscles around your ankle and the muscles in your feet is to put a towel down on the floor, stand on it, and then use your toes to just crumple that towel all up underneath your foot. And what you're doing there is working the muscles that are in between the little bones of your feet. Again, it would be important to go ahead and stretch to balance out the exercises you're doing. And a good way to stretch your feet is to wear shoes and then put your foot up against the wall and then try to put your thigh on that same wall. And if you do that, you'll notice a great huge stretch up the back of your calf. And that, once again, hold that stretch for about 20 or 30 seconds to let the muscles actually relax and get longer.
That sounds like it would actually feel really good, especially if your muscles are tight. For the non-fishermen listening out there, you know, one of the things that I think of when considering joints, let me start that over again. For all the non-fishermen listening out there, you know, obviously you use your joints every day. It's a big part of your life. And when they hurt, or when they kind of impede an activity that you're trying to do because they hurt, it can be, you know, really inconvenient and really painful. You know, something that comes to mind is jogging and having your knees hurt, you know, having your joints hurt when you're trying to jog. It's something that I've heard my family members talking about before, like, you know, you got to be careful of your knees because of that impact. What should people do if they want to, you know, go on a jog or do other things that could be, you know, could cause some pain in your knees? And, you know, what should they look out for, first of all? And then what are some things that they can do to alleviate that?
Well, what you mentioned about sort of the repetitive impact on your knees is probably the first and most important thing that causes knee pain. And oftentimes that comes from maybe starting a little too fast. If you have been a couch potato all winter, you should not go out and try to run 5 miles the first time you go out. Start off with walking and gradually increase your walking until you can walk a fair distance, a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. You can take out some of my arms here.
No problem.
What I've noticed in myself is if I get excited and try to start running, I am sensitive to what my actual body weight is, and I can run if my body weight is below a certain level. And above that, if I try running, even though I've been walking, if I try running, boy, my knees really hurt, and I may actually work against myself and have to stop and rest my knees for a couple of days. Whereas if I had just stuck with my pattern of walking, I could continue to walk for quite some time. I think that paying attention to your own body's messages, if you are running and your knee hurts, stop running, at least for a while. Figure out if the problem is that high impact of coming down harshly on your knee. And I think it's also important, since I suspect you're still in the midst of snow and slush and ice and breakup, to be careful about the surface that you're running on, too, because hitting a gravel and twisting an ankle or twisting your knee or hitting a patch of ice and slipping can really put you back if you are trying to be proactive in getting your exercise back up on track.
Totally. I think definitely watching out for those icy surfaces is really important. We do still have a lot of slush out there, so that was accurate. And then finally, you know, heading into summer when we're thinking about hiking and going on those long walks and wandering around the tundra, berry picking, things like that, what are some of the things that people should look out for specifically, you know, when hiking and when going on, or, you know, when going on walks, when berry picking, like those activities that may not be as rapid as jogging on the bike path, but maybe, you know, but may still kind of strain or try your joints a little bit?
Certainly, when I went walking on the tundra, I was forever falling into holes. Paying attention to your footing, and when you're hiking on the paths, consider taking a walking stick with you. I've become a real walking stick aficionado recently, just because having that little extra bit of stability, that third leg, if you will, has helped save me from some falls. And I must admit, I mean, I'm 60 now. I cannot believe I'm saying that on radio. But I have become much more careful with my with taking care of my footing, because I recognize that for me, a fall at this age is not at all as I cannot afford to be as careless as I could at 35, let's say. I think it would be important when you're out walking on the tundra, once again, pay attention to your body. If you know that you are going to be walking back carrying a bucket full of berries, know that it's going to be harder walking back than it was walking out. And pay attention, turn around before you run out of energy to get back. I think stretching after you've been exercising is a reasonable thing. And if you do happen to hurt something while you're out doing whatever activity you have done, icing it down is a good first step. Bag of frozen peas around your ankle, a freezer pack around your knee, something like that to cool down the joint and reduce the inflammation if you've received an injury. I think that if you know that you have sort of an ankle that may turn or it's easy to sprain, you may be benefited by wrapping it before you go out on your activity, just so that it has that little extra support. Or it may be that wrapping it just reminds you to be a little bit extra careful when you're walking.
Absolutely. I think those were my questions about, you know, general joint health. I think that those tips about fishing and hiking and jogging are all extremely useful when it comes to thinking about your joint health in your limbs heading into the summer. So thanks so much for taking some time to walk through that, and we will have more joint discussions next week.
Sounds good. Pleasure talking with you, Izzy.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. That was awesome. And thanks for shooting over that text yesterday. I didn't forget, but I was kind of in the middle of a bunch of other things.